To begin, you are invited to read Psalm 4 along with me, either out loud or silently, whichever you would like to do. And we include, when we read these psalms, we're going to include the ascription, the little directions at the top. And also, there's a word that is in some of the psalms, Selah. We will also say that when it appears. To the choir master with string instruments, a psalm of David. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies, Selah? But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent, Selah. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety. And also, I read from one verse from the gospel lesson. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ was the Son of God. These words that we read from the Old Testament are really his words as well. They're inspired by the Holy Spirit, inspired by the Trinity. And so as David writes this psalm, these are teachings from Jesus before he's born. They're teachings from the Trinity by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So when Jesus teaches about prayer here, if you look at that overall teaching, he's saying, don't be worried about what other people are thinking about your donations or what they think about you in public. What you should really be thinking about is what God thinks about you. So pray to your Father in secret, who sees everything, and he will reward you. And Jesus was absolutely certain that God is listening. The Father is listening. And he will reward and take care of his child. This is exactly what Psalm 4 teaches. Oftentimes the Psalms have this, what's called the ascription, that of David or of Solomon, and then something about how the psalm is to be performed or sung. And those ascriptions, those directions, are in the very earliest manuscripts that we have. And then also, we don't normally read the Selah, or sometimes when I print them in the bulletin, I leave them out. But they're part of the text there, and there's an understanding that somehow that Selah was probably about musical instruments, because no commentator really knows what the Selah is. It's in all these psalms, but nobody knows what it means. It means to lift up, but lift up what? Lift up your instrument, lift up the volume. It's something to do with the musical, how you do the music of it. But nobody's exactly sure. So this psalm is designed to be sung with instruments in the tabernacle or temple. When we look at verse 1, there is a very interesting thing here. And before I look closely at it, I did not know this. The very first line there, when the psalmist says, answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness, God of my righteousness. That's the only place in the whole Bible that that phrase takes place, is written. And so he's praying to God of my righteousness, the God who gives me my righteousness. the righteousness, O God of my righteousness. My righteousness is from you and it comes to me. And so the right away in Psalm 4, we have an understanding, the first line, that the psalmist is not righteous on his own, but God of my righteousness, I'm calling to you, the one who gives me your righteousness. And this God is the one who gives him righteousness and gives him relief. In this psalm, you hear and see several times that he's calling up to God, and he wants God to hear him, because for God to hear him, that's what's important. That's what delivers from distress, is to be heard by God. That is where faith is. I know you're listening, God. I'm calling to you, and you're my righteousness. I'm not holy. You are holy, but I'm calling to you. Hear me. This translation is interesting, too, because the ESV translation hides it a little bit. You have given me relief when I was in my distress. It's more literally, when I was in a narrow place, a tight place, you gave me openness. That's more literally that. And when that's a saying that we have. We can say, it was really tight. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know which way to turn. I was too tight. And so the psalmist is calling up and saying, I'm in trouble. I don't know which way to turn. I'm all boxed in. Lord, hear me. There's a typo in the notes. I'm sorry about that. In the next line, wicked people do not last forever. Not last forever. There is wickedness all around us, and it does not last forever. Yet, it's a problem for God's people. But the psalmist says the wicked people are around, but the Lord sets up his godly, or you can also say his faithful. God sets up his and sets apart and gives safety to his godly ones, to his faithful ones. And what's most important, again, is that he hears me when I call. And there, the psalmist kind of switches to that first person, when I call. It's very personal. We're just not praying in the air, but God is listening to me. To me. Thus, what Jesus said, isn't it? He said, it doesn't matter truly in your prayers who hears you on the streets and the corners. What matters is that God hears you in secret because you're trusting in him. And Jesus is really emphasizing that personal faith with God. So that all these people might think you're great or not great or whatever, that doesn't matter. What finally matters is what my Father hears me pray. The psalmist, as he's surrounded by wickedness, he gives some teaching and warning about righteous anger. And we see that God can have anger that is righteous because there is sin and there is meanness and there is disobedience. And we know Jesus, he was angry in the temple when they were cheating people with the sellers at the tables and the money changers. So there is a righteous anger, and real things go on around us that are wrong. And that a godly person can feel, this is not right, this is bothering me. But the psalmist says, be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. St. Paul referred to this passage in Ephesians 4. You may know this passage. I have it written down there. St. Paul said, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And he gets that teaching from Psalm 4. So as we feel boxed in, as evil may surround us, and we call out to God, the psalmist says, you might be angry. And the psalmist is probably angry, a righteous anger. But he says, but do not sin. So how do we do that? The psalmist even helps us think through this. The psalmist said, ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. offer right sacrifices, and put your trust in the Lord. That's how we handle a righteous anger. I put down there some things too. Even if you're in anger, continue to praise God. Continue to give offerings to God. Put your trust in the Lord. So this righteous anger, if this overcomes us of real sins and real problems, but if it overcomes us, then we forget about God. And the psalmist says, but keep giving your offerings to God. Keep praising God. Trust in the Lord. Have your focus on God. Sometimes there's such great unbelief that it mocks faith, and this is what the psalmist speaks about in verse 6. There are many who say, who will show us, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. They're mocking. That's a mocking statement. There's people who speak like that, who mock those who trust in the Lord. So that's around. But the psalmist says, but the joy that the Lord gives me is greater than all the food and all the drink that they might have. The joy that he gives me is more than that. They may mock me, but I have joy. And the psalmist then ends up saying, at the end, in peace, I will both lie down and sleep. And that's an interesting phrase because it's like it's emphasized. It's doubly emphasized. I will both lie down and sleep in peace. And that is the peace that passes all understanding. That is the shalom. That is the peace that the angels spoke to the shepherds when they were frightened. Peace be to you. It's this divine peace. So the psalmist says, this shalom I have, this peace I have from the Lord, it's so much I can both lie down in peace and I can sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. That word dwell, it has that sense that I live here. I am here. It's not like I go to some place to have lunch for a short time and then I go somewhere else. Dwell means this is where I am. This is how I am. And he says, in you I dwell in safety. The Lord's peace, which we hear at the benediction, the Lord's peace is this great safety in which we live. And that closing line of Psalm 8 made me, Psalm 4, made me think about Psalm 23. Listen, Psalm 4, verse 8, in peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. And then listen from Psalm 23, verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As Christians, we're instructed by our Lord Jesus to pray to our Father who hears us and who is listening. And the psalmist teaches us that prayer, that calling to God, dwelling in his peace, is our safety, is our refuge. Nothing can take that away from us. In Psalm 23, when David wrote, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, it's not only just future, but it's now. That promise of eternity, the promise of being in heaven, is drawn into my time now. And I can both lie down and sleep in peace because heaven even extends to now. There are problems and sins and wickedness now, but that promise from God is with me now and extends day by day by day. And thus I dwell in it. I live in it. It is my place. Wherever I go, I have the peace of God. It follows me and is always with me. We pray. Dear Heavenly Father, in your Son, Jesus Christ, you have given us great peace, forgiveness, life everlasting. Help us to have the faith of this psalmist, that even in righteous anger, it doesn't take over us, but we look and turn to you. And we know that even though people might not believe or mock faith or belittle faith, we can trust in you. And in you we have joy and peace. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.